proud to introduce to you all this morning, Gavin Prossen. Hi, Gavin.
Hey, guys. What's up, guys? How y'all doing? So, as you just heard, my name is Gavin Crossen, that is, and I'm here to give you all the message today, so if that's cool with y'all, thanks for having me. Be kind of awkward if I left now. So, I have some scripture for y'all that I'm going to read first. This is some good stuff right here. Y'all are going to like it. So, I'll read y'all. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ecclesiastes 11, 7 through 10. That's not it. No. Okay. So first, can we just give like another huge round of applause for all the military and the armed forces here and not? Like, I'm just recently starting to realize how much they do for us, and it's really crazy seeing friends go off to college, or going off into the military, or planning to go in the military, and it's honestly, it's a scary thought having some of your best friends go in there. I know some of you guys have seen a lot worse than that, so I can't thank you guys enough. Thank you very much for all the stuff that you guys do for us on the battlefield and here, because there's so many people that stuff that the military taught them, they're able to teach me, and I thank everyone for that. So back to Ecclesiastes. So this is Ecclesiastes 11, 7 through 10. And this is just going to be kind of the starting / theme verse for today that I'm going to be speaking off of. So it says, this is, if you were here, I did like a 10-minute homily at the Confirmation Sunday. And this is kind of the verse that I spoke on here as well. Headline is Advice for Young and Old. So this doesn't just go out to young people in particular, even though it sounds like it, it's young at heart. So, you know, you guys are all young at heart, even no matter how old you are. So, it says, light is sweet. How present to see a new day dawning. When people live to be very old, let them rejoice in every day of life. But let them also remember there will be many dark days. Everything still to come is meaningless. Young people, it is wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do everything you want to do. Take it all in. But remember that you must give an account to God for everything you do. So refuse to worry and keep your body healthy. But remember that youth, with a whole life before you, is meaningless. And he didn't believe it's meaningless, and I don't believe it's meaningless. What he means by meaningless means it's fleeting. And everyone who's grown up from a teenager, you can tell us how quick the teenagers go by. And it doesn't really feel like it when you're in it, but now that I'm 16 and I feel like I was 13 2 days ago, it's gone by really quick. And that's what he's saying is, you know, don't forget your youth. Like, use your youth to your advantage. Use your youth to have a really, really good time. And that's what I think, you know, we're all sent here to have a good time. I think some people think, you know, the typical grandma that, you know, sits on the couch or something and when you come in tells you all the stuff you've done wrong. That's none of my grandmas do that. They're great. But, you know, I've heard, you know, stories about the mean old lady who lives down the street that, you know, kind of doesn't like you to have fun. That's why I don't believe God's like that. I think he loves laughter. He loves good times. He loves seeing us have fun. He loves seeing us have fun. That's why he watches us all the time. He likes watching the good things, you know. He doesn't necessarily like watching the bad things that happen sometimes. But, you know, we'll deal with that on a different day. So something I really liked, especially on verse 10, it doesn't just say don't worry, because I feel like we all get really, really wrapped up in worrying, myself included. Summer's supposed to be, you know, a break, it's fun, you know. No, summer isn't like that at all. It gets pretty crazy sometimes, really crazy. And, you know, but it's something that I have to tell myself, as you all have to tell yourself as well, as I tell you. Says not just don't worry, it says refuse to worry. So don't just think of it as, all right, I don't want to worry, I'm not going to do it. Say, no, I'm not worrying. Like, nobody has a hold on me except for God, and nothing is going to get me, into this again. Like, I'm going to refuse to worry. Like, I'm done with worrying. And then, so, you know, I wrote on here to kind of go on this. I said, bruh, life is fun as crap. Tell them about it. So, like, you guys all have hobbies. You know, I have hobbies. We all have hobbies. Hobbies are fun. You know, I like, for example, I surf sometimes. I can't really do that as a sport because I kind of suck and the waves aren't that good. So, but it's a hobby. It's fun. I love surfing. I love being around the water. I feel like in the water is where I like really feel God like present in my life. And you guys all have something like that too. I'm sure maybe you hunt, maybe you fish, maybe you just like, there's different areas in your life where you just feel God more prominently. And God doesn't just give you hobbies just for you to like them, you know? He gives you hobbies for you to, I don't know, I guess to use as a platform to speak to other people through those hobbies. Like I think I was talking to David the other day about how like when I go disc golfing with some of my friends, like most people just, you know, they think, okay, I'll do my church thing, and then I might do it on Wednesday too if I'm feeling special, and then I'm just done for the rest of the week. Like, I'm just going to have fun for the rest of the week. Well, I think that's not how it should work. I think you should carry the recharge that you have on Sundays and Wednesdays and carry it into your life to where you're stronger than ever on those days. So on the days when I'm disc golfing, I ain't just, you know, talking about all this stuff other than God. If I get an opportunity, I'm finna speak to them about Jesus, you know? Yeah. But that's what... I'm not trying to like pat myself on the back for that. That's something that I think everyone chooses a model for their life, is that, you know, when you get these feelings in church, they're not supposed to go away at 12:07. You know, they're supposed to carry on through the rest of the week, and they're supposed to recharge you to where everyone else is like, shoot, what's in them? And they're like, it's about Jesus. And I'm like, I want to go get some of that. And so that's what, yeah, that's pretty sick. So now we're going to go back to Ecclesiastes 1, if you guys have your Bibles. Forgot when I'm supposed to end this, but we're going to figure it out. You know, I'm going, you know, I could go off of Baptist metric time, and I could finish in about an hour, 25 minutes, but lucky for y'all, I'm a Methodist, so we're going to get this wrapped up in about half an hour. I love Baptists. I'm just kidding, y'all. All right, so we're back to Ecclesiastes 1. So Ecclesiastes 1, I'm just going to read. It's a short little story. It says, everything is meaningless. That's great, isn't it? Well, like I said before, it's not actually meaningless. It just means it's fleeting. Everything goes by really, really quick. That's what, you know, all those, you know, if you're somewhat of a younger age and you do Instagram and stuff, you know, some people, like, use their captions for, like, I'm here for a short time, I'm here for a good time, not a long time. And I think that's not a good plan. You know, but it does feel like we are here for a pretty dang short time, and it kind of scares you once you're in the midst of it, how quickly things go by. So that's what he's saying, is, you know, recognize that, you know, this stuff goes by pretty quick, so don't take advantage of it. Have a good time. Take your time while you're here. Just enjoy life. And he said, okay, so this is what it says. Everything is meaningless, says a teacher, completely meaningless. Everything's quick, completely quick. What do people get for all their hard work under the sun? Generations come, generations go, but the earth never changes. The sun rises and the sun sets, then hurries around to rise again. The wind blows south, then turns north. Around and around it goes, blowing in circles. Rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. Then the water returns again to the rivers and flows out again to the sea. Everything is wearisome and beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. Sometimes people say, here's something new, but it's actually old. Nothing is ever truly new. We don't remember what happened in the past, and now in future generations, no one will remember what we're doing now. I think that the teacher in this wrote that as kind of a wake-up call. That you guys are all just kind of hanging out in life, and you're not really doing anything with it. You're just here to have, you know, a good time. And no one's going to remember what you do. They're not going to remember the parties you went to. They're not going to remember you for, you know, how many times you did stuff that's not good. They're not going to remember all that. So when you come into this life, every day when you wake up, tell yourself, I'm going to do something today to make people remember me for good. And, you know, think about, you know, we remember sometimes when people do really big things that aren't so good, like terrorist attacks and stuff like that. We do remember that, but just imagine the legacies that live on for so long. I mean, look how long Jesus has made it. That's a long dang time. People still talk about him. And I think that's pretty cool. You know, see how good Jesus was and how many good things he did and how long he was remembered. And then, you know, nobody hears about the bad people in the Bible that much anymore. You know, when they hear that somebody did something, they're like, I haven't heard that before. This Bible is a little strange sometimes. You know, it's something that we should probably take as a model for our life that we kind of look over, is that the good things in the Bible last a whole lot longer than the bad things in our mind. And that's what Jesus is all about, honestly. He likes good things a lot more. So definitely, instead of taking your life as how much fun can I have today, think of your life as how many people can I change today? And how many lives can I touch today? How many, souls can I touch today? Not just lives, but like, just even if there's somebody who's like already a Christian and already is living their life for Christ, everybody gets tired. So don't just, when you're passing through like a bunch of people, don't just be like, oh, this person's already fed. I don't need to feed him more. You know, he can't get too full. But you gotta keep going after those people as well. So if you see somebody, you know, if my neighbor Chris, you know, my man, neighbor from South Florida. But if he's sitting next to me and then I got somebody, I don't know, Drake sitting next to me. I ain't just going to talk to Drake about Jesus. I'm going to talk to both of them about Jesus. Because both of those people need Jesus. Even if they know Jesus, they still need him. Everybody needs Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Everybody needs Jesus. No matter if they're young, if they're old, if they're new to this Christianity thing, if they're not. So just try and feed everybody you can. Because I can tell you what, you never get tired of feeding people. That feels great when you get to actually feed somebody. I'm not talking about like actual food. That'd be weird. But when you get to feed them in Christ, when you get to show them the actual word of Christ and what Jesus is speaking through you and what Jesus is speaking through the Bible. Yeah, that's pretty sick. All right, so, and all this stuff, I've kind of lost my topic because I got on a rant. But, so, basically all this stuff, when I said everything's meaningless, you know, about life pursuits as well, but also everything on this earth, like everything, you know, these chairs, this meaningless, this floor, this meaningless, this little stage isn't meaningless. You know, this stuff isn't what's going to make us happy. These pretty lights, you know, that super sick bass, Mr. Jamie, that's not going to make us happy in heaven, you know. It's going to be cool that we have it here. But, you know, what really makes this life special and what really makes this life great and a really good time is when you mix in Jesus with it and you actually know his word and the sacrifices he gave for you and you actually read the Bible every day and you actually get into the word and you actually let it permeate through your life to where it's like everybody just knows why you're so happy all the time or why you are like you are. It's because of Jesus. That's what makes things special. So, yeah, that's Ecclesiastes 1. Or Ecclesiastes 1. That's what's super sick about that. And now I have a short story to tell you. It's a nice story. If you guys are, you know, my bros, you'll know what I'm talking about when I start reading this. Okay, so, this is this movie, okay? Some of y'all probably, if you know me, you probably know what movie I'm talking about already. One of my favorite movies of all time. I figured a scene that's not so famous, but because there's many famous scenes out of this movie. This one's not so famous, but I feel like it really, really fit really well into what I'm speaking about. So, you know, first before I say this, we all get really weary, like I said before, you know? No matter how strong we are, it's really, really hard. We just, you know, we can almost feel the devil, like, punching us down. And we can feel, you know, just this pressure on us and this all this baggage on us to where it's, like, it's terrible sometimes to where we just get overwhelmed and so stressed. And I want you all to know first, that's not, you know, temptation is not from God. You know, if all this stuff, all this baggage is, like, weighing you down, that's not from God. God wants the best for you. That's from, you know, our bad guy down under, not in Australia, in hell. But there's some cool guys in Australia. You should look up Hillsong. But, all right, so now I'll get to how to deal with those kind of things. So how to deal with pressures from that bad guy. this is going to be good. All right, so figure out where to start. So, this man and this woman are talking about why the woman is not married yet. And so the man says to the woman, the woman says to the man, I got married. I didn't want to. It all happened too fast. The man says, it never happened. The woman says, my phone's cracked, sorry. What? The man says, never happened. The woman says, but it did. I was there. The old man said, man and wife. The man said, did you say I do? The woman said, no, we kind of skipped that part. The man said, then you're not married. If you didn't say it, you didn't do it. Wouldn't you agree, Your Highness? And he turns around. And then there's this other man. This other man's a bad guy. Remember that, okay? This other man. He says, a technicality that will shortly be remedied. But first things first, to the death. He's trying to fight the guy. This is where it's starting to get good. What? I almost blew it. You guys probably already know what I'm talking about. The man, the good man, said, no, to the pain. The other, the bad man, said, I don't think I'm quite familiar with that phrase. The good man said, I'll explain. And I'll use small words so you'll be sure to understand, you warthog-faced buffoon. Then the bad man says, that may be the first time in my life a man has dared insult me. The man says, it won't be the last. To the pain means the first thing you will lose will be your feet below your ankles, then your hands at your wrists, next your nose. The bad man said, and then my tongue, I suppose. I killed you too quickly the last time, a mistake I don't mean to duplicate tonight. Man says, I wasn't finished. The next thing you will lose will be your left eye followed by your right. And then the other guy said, and then my ears, I understand. Let's get on with it. He says, wrong. That's where I get a little gruesome. Your ears you keep, and I'll tell you why. So that every streak of every child at seeing your hideousness will be sure to cherish, will be yours to cherish. Every babe that cries out, that weeps at your approach, every woman who cries out, dear God, what is that thing, will echo in your perfect ears. That is what to the pain means. That means I leave you in anguish, wallowing in misery forever. The bad man says, I think you're bluffing. The good man says, it's possible, pig, I might be bluffing. It's conceivable, you miserable vomitous mass. That's a good one. I'm only lying here because I lack the strength to stand. Then again, perhaps I have the strength after all. He stands up. Drop your sword. The other man drops it. Have a seat. Tie him up. Make it as tight as you like. If you've never seen that movie, we need to have a movie night. It's a good movie. It's called The Princess Bride, if you didn't know already. So basically what's happening in that scene is Wesley, the good man, he's hanging out with the girl he likes. Her name's Buttercup. And they were, you know, canoodling. And then this bad man, this prince, comes in, and you heard the dialogue. But what the man doesn't exactly know is that Wesley doesn't know, or can't stand. He's weak from a pill, a bad pill. It's a long story, you know, about 2.5 hours. But he can't stand. He has no strength. He has no physical ability to do anything, really. But he dared to stand up toward the end of his rant. First he uses words, and he uses them quite strongly. You know, those are pretty weird insults that he hurled at him. And he fought, not just using physical strength and all this, like, big words that you hear in the Bible and all these things, trying to sound like the smartest you can or the most spiritual you could, or the most, you know, scary he could. He used what he knew. He used the insults that he liked, though, as weird as they come, they were pretty insulting. Somebody called me a warthog-faced buffoon, I would have been pretty insulted. But what I'm saying is, you know, Satan, the devil, he'll do these things to you. And it really, really feels bad in the moment. And sometimes the pressure and the weight and all the baggage feels like you can't stand. Feels like you can't stand up to him. Feels like you can't do anything to make it go away. But you guys know that you have the power of words and insults, basically, that come from the Bible and that come from just your knowledge of God and your closeness with God. And every time that he pushes you down, every time that he, you know, he puts pressure on you and he controls you almost, you have the power to stand as hard as it is, as terrible as it feels, as hard as it is. It's horrible sometimes, and it feels like you're literally breaking like every bone in your body. You're hurting everything in your soul. It's so hard. You have the power, and it's not impossible. And God gives you the power to stand, and then he gives you the words in the Bible to completely eradicate his hold in your life. So somehow I was able to tie that in during with the Princess Bride. So I'm pretty proud of myself for that. So you have power over the devil, even though it feels like you don't. I always like to think of it. I always kind of thought, you know, it was like two opposite forces. When I was a kid, I always thought it was like there's God and there's Satan, and we're like somewhere in the middle. And it's like we can choose like which side we want to go to. But I learned it's not really like that. It's more of a hierarchy. God's at the top. We're decently far under him. And Satan literally has no power on your life. He's just down here. You know, it may seem like he has power on your life, but he really doesn't. Because imagine how like much more powerful God is when he's speaking through you to that guy. You know, he has no power in your life. As much as it seems, he can't hold you. You're unstoppable if you just use the right resources, which you have. Pick up your dang dang Bible. You know what I'm saying? And now next, I have another verse. It's Hebrews 3:9. That was loud, sorry. Now this one sounds a little depressing, but it's actually going to be kind of sick, so hold on a second. So Hebrews 3:9 says, "There your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw my miracles for 40 years. We all complain, and we all think about how, like, you know, God, like, why are you not here? Why am I not seeing you? I feel like we're blind. We're blinded to this world. We're blinded to what's going on in this life. And we think, you know, we have no resources around. We have no hope because nothing's happening around us in God. Maybe we've been seeing miracles for years, but we just haven't paid attention to them. Maybe we've seen things happen, lives change, but we just kind of overthink them because we think it's a one-time thing. Maybe we've seen these miracles happen for more than 40 years, and we're kind of using this excuse almost that, you know, in this life, in this age, in this generation, it's a lot different than it used to be. But as it said back in one of the verses that I read, this life hasn't changed. Just the generations have. The world hasn't changed. We still have, you know, it feels weird that we're, you know, still bathing in water that dinosaurs bathed in years ago. That's weird. But it's a good reminder that this life isn't completely new. It's just recycled. It's the same things. It's the same resources. It's the same beautiful nature, even though some of the stuff we've done has kind of messed it up. Still beautiful outside. There's still miracles that happen every day, whether we choose to see them or we don't. You know, it said the wind, it goes from north to south. It changes directions east to west. The water, it flows different ways in the tide, but it's all the same. So why do we make an excuse that the generations have changed and we just don't have the same hold as we used to? And you can come up, by the way. I forgot to tell you all that. So, you know, I don't have this written down, but I feel like I didn't give an answer to this before. You know, we feel kind of hopeless in our generation that we're just a generation that doesn't have power, I guess. We think that the generations have changed so much and the times have changed that we can just kind of go on with our worldly, I don't know how to say it, our worldly, like, doings and our worldly actions so much that we get so caught up in them that we feel like we have no connection to the spiritual and to heaven. And I think people kind of need a wake-up call that this place hasn't changed, just our hearts have and our minds have and what people are telling us have. So if anything, this is the time to prove your faith because it's so tough. This is the time to really prove it and to really speak out. Because you guys have all seen, especially in our generation, how hard it is to find someone who's truly pursuing Christ. It's a hard thing to find nowadays, and that's, honestly, it's really sad, but I think of it as a challenge. That's just more people that we have to, you know. I like that music, that's nice. It's all right, that's great. I liked it, it made me happy. But, you know, don't think of it as an excuse, and don't think of it as a burden. Think of it as a challenge, and think of it as a joy and a privilege to be able to serve in this world and let God give you the power to change this world for the better, for God. Because, I mean, right now, there's not many people going after the whole world. There's people who are going after their towns, their cities, and for some reason, they kind of stop there. They're like, all right, I'm just going to train this place. You know, like if I said, I'm just going to train you guys, don't take it outside these walls now. That's not cool. That wouldn't be good. I want you guys, each and every one of you, if you learned anything today by my constant talking, to go out and spread that to people who don't really know as much as you. And go and educate people and go and live not just a Sunday and a Wednesday for Christ, but live a life for Christ. That's a true challenge. It's easy to come here and sit down and don't cuss for an hour and sing along with the music and listen to me preach. But it's a lot harder when you get into school or work and everything around you just kind of beating you down and erasing the ideas of what you just got in your head and thinking, wait, maybe I actually don't have the power to change this. God gives the same opportunities he gave to the people when they knocked down the walls of Jericho. He gives you guys the same powers to the people who, you know, parted the Red Sea. Big things. Big things that happened back in the Bible and big things that happened back earlier in life. God's using those same big miracles and using those same big things for you. So we're about to sing this next song, and it's called The End of the World. I know, it's not the 90s song. But just think of it not just as it's the end of the world around here, as it's not the end of the segregation between Christianity and everyday life. Think of it as the end of yourself, to where I'm losing all control over myself and I'm just going to pursue God, and God's just going to speak through me for the rest of this week. And try and take that into next week and next week and next week, and just, you know, take it forever. It's hard, but it's worth it. I can tell you. You can find a lot of joy in just simply obeying Christ and just being in, you know, coordination with him, to where it's like he's making my everyday moves. You know, he's the one leading me today. So we're about to sing this song, and I invite you guys to worship freely. I realize that we've kind of gotten a little bit scared of worshiping freely lately, and I think it shouldn't be like that. I think that no matter the circumstance, whether you're in the bottom or whether you're at the top of your world, we're all called to worship God like we're supposed to. So if you guys want, like, sometimes it feels too churchy, like being up in chairs. I know there's some people you might have to push past, but, like, if you guys don't want to, like, be like that in chairs, you know, you guys still have some room, get out in the aisles, like, dance, have a good time. I loved it when all the, like, little kids would just, like, go to the sides and just dance. Like, that's great. Like, they're just having a great time dancing in, like, in their father's care, like, dancing and to worship their father. And I think we should all, like, be encouraged to do that. Like, it seems kind of weird, but it's actually super sick when you, like, see somebody, like, dancing out of pure joy because they know what their father's done for them and they just want to worship him. That's all they want to do. So, you know, it might feel like they might, but nobody's going to judge you. If anything, we're going to be happy for you if you just get up and you worship. Don't feel scared to do that. You know, we're all at this kind of point. Like, I know the youth are because, you know, we're almost to Oakwood, and it's been such a long journey, and it's been, you know, from last Oakwood to this in about 16 days. But it's really, really hard having that long of a spell of just not being able to just open your arms and worship and just love on God and love each other, you know? It's really hard. It's really hard to have that long of a time without it. So I invite you guys every Sunday to have a time like that where you're just like, you feel open. And no matter the circumstances, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on around the building, no matter what's going on anywhere, basically, just like, come here and love God. Don't worry about the people next to you. Don't worry about whatever somebody's going to think if they see some kind of video of your hand being raised. Let's just worship God as freely as you want and sing as loud as you can. I don't care how bad a singer you are. I'm the worst singer probably on this earth. And I'm singing like the top of my lungs during worship. Like, it's great when you just have no pressure to be good. Because God's good. You don't have to be all the time. You're not required to be perfect to be in the midst of our Father and to worship our Father. That's actually what it's about, is we're thanking Him for the gift of not having to be perfect. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Let's not just sing. Let's not just clap. Let's not just listen to music. Let's, like, actually worship. However that means to you. Because I don't care if you don't have your hands raised. I don't care if you don't dance. If it's just sitting down and singing. If it's just praying while we sing. Let's just worship, y'all.